This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. I'm going to read from Revelation 1. Verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. And I don't think there can be any doubt that we are in the last days. And so it is very important for us to know what God is saying, how we should be approaching these last days, and maybe what's coming up. And so this week and next week, I'm going to be looking at what's coming up and what is God saying, how we should be preparing, how should we should be living our life. So I'll read again. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. The book of Revelation should be read in the church, the entire book. And you might even consider reading the entire book in one sitting. And Francis Chan wrote about that in his book, Letters to the Church, how in their church meetings, they would read the whole book, and it was an amazing time. So I want to walk through, as I said, this week and next week, taking a look at this, and let Scripture speak for itself. Forget about what you've heard anybody else say. You can even forget about what I say, but let the Holy Spirit speak to you about what his message is for you, what he wants you to hold on to. So after Jesus speaks and confronts the seven churches in the first several chapters of Revelation, John, who is the author of this book, witnesses this fantastic scene in heaven. And so I'll read from that, picking up in Revelation 4, verse 2. At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper. Jasper is a red stone. And carnelian, which is a brownish red mineral. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. Before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And then moving on into that chapter, there is a scroll that God the Father is holding. Jesus steps forward as the only one who can break the seals of that scroll. There are seven seals to it. And so Revelation 5, 1. Then I saw in the right hand of him, God the Father, who was seated on the throne, a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. So Jesus opens the scroll with the seven seals that none were found worthy to open. And what this does is each of these seals has to do with God's coming judgment. So Revelation 6 is pretty much going to dictate and show where we are today or what we're moving into. So from Revelation 6, 1, now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." So what he's talking about there is runaway inflation. A denarius is a day's wage. He's saying it will cost a day's wage to buy a loaf of bread or 3 quarts of barley. And think about where we are today. We've been going through runaway inflation basically ever since COVID blasted. And it's not hard to think or to see what could happen, because the U.S. now has a $36 trillion deficit. We're runaway borrowing and spending, and they can't go several months without having to increase the borrowing limit. At some point, there is going to be a financial crisis. I don't know when, but it's not hard to see, read the writing on the wall. There is going to be at some point a financial crisis, something that might trigger the dollar becoming not much worth more than the paper. That could be something that triggers inflation like that. It's not hard to imagine this happening. And then I'll continue. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him, and they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Fourth of the earth. I mean, and Putin in Russia, what has he been doing? About once a month, he's been threatening nuclear war. Nobody does that, starts talking about nuclear war. So there's a very dark evil there, and the pieces are being put in place for this coming event, where a fourth of the earth is going to be wiped out, and nuclear war could easily do that very quickly. And here's what I want you to listen to. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. These are believers who were killed during this time. Believers and Christians are here. We are here during this time. They cried out with a loud voice, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then they were given a white robe and told to rest a little longer. And then again, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Believers are in, very clear here, we are in the tribulation. We're not going to be, I don't see the evidence of being raptured. I see, and as we'll walk through this, you'll see even more evidence that there isn't a rapture presented in the book of Revelation where we exit before all this hell breaks loose. And I bring all this up because we need to be prepared. We need to understand this. And so this week and next week, I'm not looking at just Revelation, but also passages from Daniel and what Jesus said in the book of Matthew and Luke. And there are a lot of warnings that he who endures to the end will be saved in the context of these end times. So believers are here in this time. And then Revelation 6:15, picking it up. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone slave and free hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lord. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" So the leaders of the world, they're hitting their faces in fear. Sometimes I hear Christians say, It's going to be great when Jesus comes. And I find myself thinking, have you read your Bible? Have you read the book of Revelation? Do you know what's coming down? And yeah, we want Jesus to come. Yeah, we want order restored. But before that happens, there is a lot of suffering that is going on today. And it's not going to get better until this time of trial, tribulation, judgment, whatever you want to call it, has run its course. And it's easy to put out a glib comment without really taking into consideration the weight of what you're saying. And it's going to be a horrible time for those who don't know Christ, because they will be then transitioned to an eternal destiny apart from him. That's going to be terrifying, with no hope for release. This should grieve us. This should bring us to prayer. Oh, God, please help. I bet we all know family members who are lost or are wandering. We need to be in prayer for them. We need to see life through the lens of eternity, through the lens of God's word. We can't just pluck out a few verses and say, okay, Jesus is coming soon, and forget everything coming before that and all the suffering coming before that and all the suffering that's here right now. Earlier this month, I think it was on January 1st, actually, there was, I think, 25 people who were killed in a by a rampaging driver in New Orleans. This is evil on rampage. It's heartbreaking to see those things and to know that I think 170,000 people enter eternity every single day, meaning they die. And if God says that there are few who will find the narrow path, that's terrifying. That should bring us to prayer. That should give an extra sense of urgency and sobriety, a sober outlook in our churches, that we're not just here to make everybody comfortable. So moving on, Revelation 7, beginning at verse 9. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, amen," which is, "Let it be so," blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. And as I read that, you know what I think of? I think of our loud rock concert worship services on Sunday. And I'd love to be a part of one church service where everybody just worshiped this way that were shown in the Bible, hitting their face on the floor as they did. Fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. But we're too sophisticated for that, right? Because that would mean getting on our knees and getting off our butts on Sunday morning. And there's a certain level of humility there that we have nothing to offer. And we want to give God all the glory. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with musical instruments. But a lot, if you look through Scripture, a lot of the worship shows someone hitting the floor. And why don't we worship this way? Why is it in our church services it's always got to be a rock concert? What do you think would honor God more? Why do we always have to have noise in our church services? There's no evidence here of any kind of musical instruments or anything in the background. It's all God's people hitting their faces and worshiping him. I think this is the kind of worship we need in every single church right now, where all the distractions are gone, and God gets all the focus and all the glory, not the worship band from the stage. And then I'll continue, verse 13, Revelation 7. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these? Who is this massive multitude?" So I'll continue in Revelation 7, verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, to this angel, "Sir, you know." and key on this again. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They lost their lives during the time of the tribulation. Christians are in the tribulation. I'm going to kind of take a little side route to Daniel chapter 7 here. Verse 19, where Daniel is writing about the end times, and he says, then I desired to know the truth about the fourth beast being the last empire, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, before which 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and that seemed greater than its companions. And as I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints, Christians, believers, and prevailed over them. This is going to be the time we live in. God is going to allow these things to happen. We are going to be allowed to give our lives, to choose to give our lives, while holding on to our faith. And maybe that sounds frightful, but maybe it's also an honor and a glory and a blessing. And maybe it is an honor to die for the cause of Christ. I don't know that we always have the right perspective if we're always driven by comfort. And the question we always have to ask is, are you ready to die? If this was all to start coming about in the next year or two, where a fourth of the earth is wiped out and you're a part of that fourth, are you ready to die? Is your relationship with the Lord set? Are you at peace with Him? Where are you with sin? Do you keep short accounts with it? Are you in bondage to it? Are you making your life count for eternity? Are you ready? And then moving on, Revelation 8, verse 1. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. Think about that, silence in heaven, a half an hour. No angels speaking, none of God's people speaking, God the Father, Jesus not saying a word, silence for half an hour. If you ever had silence for half an hour in church, I think you would have people squirming out of their seats if that happens. But as I know from my trips to the desert, my solo trips, there is power in silence. God speaks in silence. God heals in silence. He ministers in silence. How about you? When's the last time you spent an hour alone in silence with God? Can you listen? Can you hear from Him? Can you receive from Him? Do you walk with Him? How's your prayer life? These are some of the most critical questions in life, because if you have no prayer life, then how can you say you really have a relationship with God? And I hope that you have much more than I go to church on Sunday relationship with Him. It's got to be a heck of a lot more than that, especially with what we're coming up into. Speaking of prayer, Revelation 8, when the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. Not the theology of the saints, not the doctrine of the saints, not the good works of the saints, the prayers of the saints. Prayer is an offering to God. Prayer pleases Him when done from the right spirit. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightning and an earthquake. I've read this verse about the prayers of the saints a number of times, and that always struck me how the prayers of the saints are stored up in this golden censer, or maybe it's a bowl, I'm not sure, but that shows how precious our prayers are to him, how precious your prayers are to him, that he hears us, especially when it's according to his will. He hears broken people. He hears people who don't have it all together. He hears people who are stuck in bondage to sin. God, help me. God, rescue me. God, I need you. God, I need your strength. God, I need your life. Prayer should be our constant focus in these days. So what happens is, after the seven seals are broken, then begins the blowing of the seven trumpets. So Revelation 8, 6 begins the blowing of the seven trumpets. Now the angel who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. And a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The second, and before I go any further, some people, I mean, we need to take care of the environment, but this is where this is all heading. Some people make it kind of like their own god, that we spend more time being concerned about the dirt or pollution more than we do our relationship with the Lord. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. A third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Continuing into Revelation 9:13, one-third of mankind is going to be killed. Then I looked, and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blast of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour, the day, the month, and the year, were released to kill a third of mankind. So now more than a half of the 8 billion people are gone in a very short period of time. The number of mounted troops was twice 10,000. I heard their number. And this is how I saw the horses in my vision and those who rode them. They wore breastplates, the color of fire and of sapphire and of sulfur, and the heads of the horses were like lions' heads, and fire and smoke and sulfur came out of their mouths. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. By the fire and smoke and sulfur coming out of their mouths. That almost sounds like nuclear war all over again. For the power of the horses in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like serpents with heads, and by means of them they wound. I want to encourage you to read the book of Revelation yourself. And don't just take what any man says, anybody says. Read it for yourself. Sit down with God, with the Holy Spirit, and say, God, speak to me about what you want me to hear, what you want me to see from your word. And again, I mentioned the rapture. I would love to see a verse in here kind of interjected saying, hey, the rapture hit, God's people were taken up into the sky, and it's all good for us. But that's not in there, so we have to be prepared. We have to know it's coming. So, my friends, we'll pick this up next week, and hope you join us then, and thank you for joining me. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.